I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I say this all the time, but I actually really love hearing from you via the text line or even by email. It just helps me to know what's on your heart these days. And I've heard from several of you about stresses in relationships. You know, so much has changed in the past couple of years, and the dividing lines have become more distinct, which I think are even more troubling. So what are we to do when we notice a shift in a relationship? Do you walk away quietly, fight for what you once had, loosen your grip and discern the season that God maybe has you in? What's the highest road you can take, the one that allows you to maintain your integrity and hold fast your identity, the identity that Jesus won for you? Well, licensed therapist Tara Mattson joins me today to talk about relationships, how to adjust when relationships change, how to maintain your sense of identity and integrity in the process. I also will pull some content from her book she co-authored with her husband. It's titled Shrinking the Integrity Gap Between What Leaders Preach and Live. If you've got some relationship scenarios you want to share, we'll tackle those if we're able. So text them in. You can text them in to 877-933-2484. We're also going to talk a little bit about the fear of man. How do you know if you're walking in the fear of man versus the fear of God? Well, I'm going to give away a handful of copies of one of my older books, but it really is a signature book. It's called The Uncommon Woman, and a lot of men have read this, I'll just tell you. Subtitle is Making an Ordinary Life Extraordinary. And what came out of this book really came out of just a painful friendship betrayal rejection, and it just broke me. But in that place, emerging out of the ashes of going, you know, I've walked in the fear of man. I don't know what it is to fear God. And this book is just a journey of learning to live in the love of God. So out of Uncommon Woman, this is what I write. How do you know if you're held captive by others' opinions? Well, when our thoughts are consumed with others' thoughts toward us, we're walking in the fear of man. When our day goes south because we feel slighted by a comment or a cross look, we're walking in the fear of man. When we feel the need to get others on our side by speaking ill of another, we're walking in the fear of man. When our goal is more to impress than to bless, well, we're walking in the fear of man. So what does it look like to walk in the fear of God? Well, when we sin and we're quick to repent to both God and man, we're walking in the fear of the Lord. When we're considerate of others' feelings without giving them the power to decide our value, we're walking in the fear of the Lord. When we're willing to step out in faith to places that are beyond our reach, regardless of the cynicism of others, we're walking in the fear of the Lord. And when we pursue a holy, obedient life and entrust our reputation to the Lord Almighty, then we're walking in the fear of the Lord. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. One more quick announcement before we hear from Tara. Our whole month, our theme is forgiveness. We're talking a lot about that. And I recorded a bonus podcast with Evelise Page, and she's the one who had stage 4 colon cancer and was given an 8% chance to live. And God miraculously led her through the healing process, and she started an organization called Believe Big. You've got to check it out. Well, this bonus podcast was the portion of her story that was about forgiveness, and it was epic. You'll only find it on the podcast lineup, so check it out and subscribe if you can. All right, let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Tara Mattson, along with her husband Jeff, advocate for healthy leadership as founders of Living Wholehearted. They're hosts of the Living Wholehearted podcast, and they're visionaries behind the global movement of courageous girls. Tara is a licensed therapist. She's an author, and she and Jeff live in Oregon, where they're raising their two daughters. Tara, welcome back to the program. So great to have you back with us today.
It's so good to be back, Suzy. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to this conversation because it applies to pretty much everybody. But before we get to that topic, we always like to start and keep it personal. So what has the Lord been impressing upon your heart these days?
Well, there are so many people carrying heavy, heavy burdens. And as you've been speaking to in the intro, just a lot of shifts, a lot of changes, and a lot of places we just feel powerless. And my husband and I are going through a very significant journey in our own story, and God's been taking me back to Exodus when the Israelites were going through one of their massive transitions, right, from slavery into freedom, and that moment when they are leaving and thinking they're getting rescued, and it's a scary place. when there's transition going on. And God, I went back to Exodus 14, and I've been wrestling with him really about the idea that he takes us sometimes on a longer road than we expect when he's setting us out for freedom. We, Jeff and I, have been praying for very specific things. And it says in Exodus that God didn't lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. He said if they went that way, they might face war and they would change their mind and go back into slavery. So he led the people around the desert road toward the Red Sea, right, where there's this huge blockage, this massive sea. And then they had to go up against Egypt and Pharaoh in the battle. And I just have been wrestling with him of why he takes us on the longer road. And at the end of the day, I keep coming back to he really loves to show off and to show us how big he is, that he goes before us, that he goes behind us, and that he's asking us at the end of the day, he's asking me, Susie, at the end of the day, do you trust me? Do you trust me with where I'm taking you and what, and that it's good? And, you know, many of us know the rest of the story where they grumble and they struggle, but we know that the Red Sea gets parted. And God says to them that the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And he tells Moses to use what's in his hands and to raise up that staff. And so God's just been really, honestly, on a daily battle right now, in a battle that we've got going on in our own stories. So do you trust me? And when I start to get mad that he's taken us on the longer route, that he's got something really amazing in store, and I can trust that, and that he goes before. And even it says at night he's working, you know, and so I can trust that even though I don't know the outcome yet. We're not through the Red Sea, but I know that he's providing a way, and this was on purpose.
Wow, beautiful. This is why we asked that question, Tara. Thank you for that. Well, I'd love to know your perspective on the events of the past couple of years, especially as it relates to its impact on our relationships.
Well, so much, again, of what has happened in the last several years was so, we felt powerless, and everybody was responding in such different ways. You know, whenever we go through crises or of any sort, the pandemic just revealed a lot of what was already there in each of us. That's what stress does. It reveals our character and the things that we really hold on to. And so just from people moving, changing jobs, you know, those staying home from church, those going to church, all of these various changes, we're still living out the ripple effect of those. And even though we want to go on with normal lives, there's just a lot of things that were said, a lot of things that weren't said. And so we're all having to really shake it out and just say, where are the relationships I need to do some repair with, that I need to do some reevaluating expectations with, and some that I just have to let go of, but that this season has actually given me a chance to kind of shake out and to reprioritize which relationships I'm going to be investing in. But change is hard. None of us like it. It's very difficult to go through.
And it can be very disorienting if you're trying to force fit something that is changing. And I don't know who said it first, but I've heard it said numerous times. Some friends you have for a season, others for a reason, and others for life. And what do you think of that idea?
I love that idea. You know, years ago, I heard a challenge of someone, a mentor of mine that I really appreciated, said, do you have any covenant friends? You know, I've always thought of my husband in marriage as a covenant, but I never thought about like a Jonathan and David relationship of a covenant friend. And honestly, I don't really like the idea because I want to have wiggle room to get out if things go south, right? And so years ago, I did take the challenge, and I prayerfully asked, Lord, who would be kind of that lifelong friend, the one who I'm going to choose to keep standing by, protect, to go toward when we have conflict or seasons of change. And so that covenant friend is one that I already know is going to be a lifetime. God has made that very clear for me. But a lot of the other ones are negotiable over through the seasons. You know, sometimes we meet friends because, you know, we've got kids the same age, or we are going to the same Bible study for a season. But I do believe that God brings in people for reasons, and some are for seasons. And as a collector of people, that is just my wiring and my personality, I often have to go through a pruning process because the humanity, as human beings, we can only hold so many relationships and to do them well. So part of the change of season is an opportunity, actually, to prune and to go deeper with the ones God's calling us to, and to let go of those where he's saying those aren't for you in this time.
Mm. And boy, we need to be so rooted in the things of God, because again, that can be disorienting or even disrupting to our sense of, sometimes we have a false sense of security. If there's no conflict, we call that peace. And yet the true peace that Jesus offers really is in spite of conflict. So let's pause here. But when we come back, maybe talk to the person who's sensing a shift with a friend and suddenly they don't feel as safe as they once did. I'll set up that scenario. But as we go to break, just think about this. Even before all the global unrest in the past couple of years, the reality of relations shifting over time is just a reality. You know, it can be a significant life event or a shift in priorities or a shift in convictions. And maybe one just moves into a direction that's different from where you're going. Well, suddenly you have a different response because it changes things. So we'll talk about that. What do you do if you're in one such situation where suddenly you're feeling, I'm not feeling safe or I'm not feeling secure in this relationship anymore? How do I navigate without letting my identity be up for grabs? If you have any questions or comments, text them in now, 877-933-2484. And also giving away a few copies of my book, The Uncommon Woman, Making an Ordinary Life Extraordinary. It's really about learning that your identity is rooted in the love of God. You can text the word book to that same number, and we'll be back in a moment. Hope it's a really great day for you. I'm Susie Larson. This is Susie Larson Live, talking to licensed therapist Tara Matson. We're talking about what happens when relationships change. And, you know, I think we all would admit that these last couple of years have really shifted things in relationships. But even before all the global unrest, the reality of relationships is one person can drift, or one person could have a significant change of life. Maybe they have a child or a job change or a move, and suddenly things have shifted in the relationship. What are you to do? Because, and again, I don't know who said it, but somebody said some friends you have for a season, others for a reason, and still others you have for life. And Tara, when you start to sense a shift with a friend, like maybe they suddenly, maybe it's not a life event where they're not changing a job or have a baby, but suddenly you just don't feel as safe as you once did with them. Like you feel like they've stepped back and they're judging and assessing rather than loving you and encouraging you. What does a person do if they suddenly go, is this me or is it them or something's off here? What do you say?
Well, if this is an important relationship to you, then I would say it's worth making an effort to have the conversation. And often just starting with that simple phrase that you launched us into, which is, I'm sensing something shifting in our friendship, and I would love the opportunity to talk about it because I'm telling myself a narrative and I want to make sure that I'm hearing your side of the story. And that is a soft toss to be able to say, let's set up a time. Let's not do this over text. Let's do this where I can see your face or your body language, or if it has to be virtual because they've moved. But it's just that reaching out and initiating, because my guess is if you're feeling that, they're probably feeling that too. And it's just a matter of who's going to be the first to say, can we talk about this? And if it is a shift that needs to happen, that conversation will help you both be at better peace with the outcome.
You know, sometimes we start to form a defense in our own minds. I call it shadow boxing, where you make a lot of assumptions. You read between the lines. You maybe draw wrong conclusions. Maybe the other person is absolutely clueless, but because it's poking at maybe insecurities or unhealed areas, then you start to form your defense in your mind. And here you're sitting over here all tied up in knots, and they have no idea. Talk to that tendency, because again, I think any shift brings up stuff in us that God just shows us that he wants to heal or untangle or resolve in us.
Well, this is how I talk to myself in this way, where the Holy Spirit's kind of speaking to me in that, Tara, do you want to be the healthy one here or the unhealthy one? And so healthy doesn't assume. Healthy doesn't mind read. I mean, none of us can mind read. Healthy gives the other person a chance to have a voice. Healthy is I have a voice, you have a voice, and we're both present. And so that sense of I want to be healthy, it's that integrity piece. And so I've got to give a chance to at least be honest. And it's vulnerable, and it takes risk because they might go, nothing's wrong. I don't know what your, you know, what your issue is. That would be really hard, but that's telling of the relationship a little bit if they respond that way. If it's a healthy relationship, they'll say, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. And actually, I feel like we're doing okay. Talk to me about what we need to change here. Something shifted. Or you learn about a place that they're at in their own life that you didn't even realize, right? And so
that's so good.
The healthy means that we slow down and we get curious. We get curious about our own insecurities, and we get curious about our friend. So giving them a chance to tell us about what's going on and why there's a distance right now.
Boy, that's fantastic. So let's go back to that first scenario. So you're feeling something's off. It doesn't feel the same. And they're going, no, you're seeming kind of sensitive because nothing's changed. What would be your advice for that person then?
Well, if my friend is telling me I'm being too sensitive, we might need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I would hope that a friend would have grace for that, right?
To right.
Say, oh, no, I'm sorry that you're, you know, here's what's going on. If they're saying you're being too sensitive, then I can see why you would feel unsafe with that person. And that's helping you put some words maybe to why you feel more unsafe. They're not open to talking more, or they're minimizing some of your concerns. Those aren't markers of healthy relationships. Healthy relationships give us a chance to be honest and vulnerable and say, hey, here's where I'm at. How's this sit with you? And then them saying, here's where I'm at. Unhealthy relationships are those that are awkward or still growing. We tend to judge each other, react, and we have to have a little bit more grace for those relationships. But that would tell me, okay, maybe this isn't as safe of a relationship as I thought it was. Something has shifted.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. It's so fantastic. I remember a gal that I know from church, just love her to pieces, but I don't see her very often. But she's someone, if I bump into, I'd for sure stop and talk. And one day she texted and said, have I done something? You know, and I said, oh my goodness, not even at all. What makes you think that? And she said, I hadn't seen you. And she'd texted me and I'd missed it because I was getting a flurry of texts because of some family things and I missed it. And I'm like, I cannot even tell you how grateful I am that you asked that question rather than wondering. And, you know, and so you're so right that it's like, if there is a mutual grace there, you'll feel scooped up and loved to go, I'm so glad you asked. Let's make sure this is that we're on the right page here. I think that's so great. What about, Tara, for the person right now listening who's walking through rejection or betrayal and is having a difficult time finding their footing? They feel maybe insecure because their situation is unstable. How can they separate what's happening to them and who they are in Christ?
Oh, I feel for that person because I have been there. That struggle of trying your best to be at peace with someone, and it's just not happening. And we're only responsible for our part, and it's normal to feel that sense of rejection. And yet, you know, it's that going deeper into what do you think of me, Lord? Remind me of what your voice says about me and what you see. And even remembering, maybe even asking a few people in your life who haven't rejected you, who can remind you who you are and who God made you to be in those, with those vulnerable arrows that are coming at us, you know, from that broken relationship. But God is the most faithful friend there is, and I'm so grateful that he never leaves us or forsakes us, because even Jesus was rejected by his crew. And that reminds me all the time, like, if Jesus was, then who am I to think that I wouldn't go through that at some point? So it takes off of that, like, something's wrong with me, and helps bring that grace in to say, this is, God's growing something in me. And a lot of times it's that, going back to him, do you trust me? Do you trust what I say about you? Are you looking for that, for everybody else to validate who you are? And then I do think we have to lean into some of those other relationships to help us remember who we are, because it's hard. It's hard to hold those that rejection and the brokenness of those relationships in our own mind. We need to be reminded by our community of what God says about us and who we have been and who we will continue to be.
Amen. You know, it does seem like the enemy in such times when there's suddenly a shift in a relationship or there's a seeming instability, the enemy goes after our identity and our integrity. So he wants to make us question who we are, but also make us react or try to get us to react in ways that we otherwise wouldn't. And so, and you write a lot about, I mean, that's your whole ministry is really about integrity. And, you know, when you think about when you're suddenly feeling maybe on the receiving end of gossip or unfair assessment, the temptation is to strike your own defense, to rally a crowd, whatever. But talk about the difference and the distinction between seeking wise counsel, as you say, remind me who I am, and kind of rallying people in a way because you're maybe not trusting God to defend you.
Oh, what a great question. And there can be a fine line in our own justification, right? We kind of think, you know, we're doing one when we're doing the other. But I think for us to maintain integrity, especially through those times when our character is being assassinated or there's maybe some real things we have to look at and to be honest about, we need to have a crew of people, a safe group of people who know us through all the seasons. And so for your listeners to be thinking about, do I know who those people are? And if I don't, I need to be asking the Lord for those people. Because those are the people that I'm going to. I have a list of five women that know anything and everything on the inside of my life, whether it's my marriage, my ministry, my kids. Even today, I texted two of them and said, I'm feeling super vulnerable right now, and them praying over me. It's those women that I'm going to say, can you, does this sound true to you? Is there something I need to look at? And I'm going to trust them because they know me on the inside and out, versus posting it on social media or, you know, to a crew of people that just met me. And so the challenge of keeping in integrity and living a wholehearted life means I've got to have a safe few who I let in to all of who I am, the broken, the not so good, and the good, so that in those moments I have a few that I can ask. And sometimes counselors stay in, kind of come in the gap for a little bit of time, or mentors or spiritual directors, we can use them as well to help give us reflection and to say, yep, that feels true, or, oh, no, that is not you. That feels like it's of the enemy.
Got just about a minute and a half before our break at the bottom of the hour. But, Tara, when you look back over the times in relationships where there was conflict or a break or misunderstanding or whatever, where the enemy was at work, what were some of your takeaways? Like, how are you better now because of some of the hard things you walk through in relationships?
I actually slow down more. I'm passionate, and so that means I can create a narrative pretty quick and react pretty quick, and so I hope I'm slower to respond. I hope I'm slower to anger and quicker to listen, to ask curious questions. Help me understand. Help me, how did you get to that conclusion? And wanting to remain in humility to grow, I think, particularly as leaders, wanting to make sure that I'm always having somebody who's older than me, more seasoned, giving me feedback. And I think I think that would be my greatest place of growth. But the second kind of secondary place of growth has been not letting those criticisms or those affirmations really frame my identity, and continuing to go back to who God says I am, even when I feel insecure about it, or when others are questioning it, or when, you know, the papers are saying, wow, she's amazing. I think when we're impressed by our own press, or when criticism takes us down, then we're not really rooted in our identity in Christ. And so
yeah, what
I feel
he
like
says.
I'm stronger there. I have ways to go, though, Susie. So yeah. I say that in
Don't
true
we
confession.
All. Don't we all? I appreciate that. More with Tara Matson in just a moment. I want you to declare that over your life. He's healing you. He's restoring you. You follow Jesus. He's in the process of redeeming and restoring your soul and redeeming your story. I'm Susie Larson, talking to licensed therapist today, Tara Matson. We're talking about when relationships change, because it brings up some things in us. The enemy will often go after our identity, and then he goes after our integrity, because we get into reaction mode versus response mode. And we're giving a handful of copies away of my book, The Uncommon Woman. It's one of my older books, but it really is. It came out of a painful friendship betrayal breakdown. But then it was really one of the best things that could have ever happened because I learned to live out of the love of God. And here's a quote. And I'm like I said, we're giving away a few copies today. We love people, but we keep our hope in God. All around us, potential conflicts are waiting to happen. We find freedom when we no longer need to defend ourselves. We avoid needless battles when we step off the low road of gossip and insecurity. Our footsteps become lighter when we shake free from the need to make sure everyone understands us. God understands us, and that's enough. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions about shifts and changes that are happening in a relationship where you're not sure what to do, God really wants you to keep your identity intact because Jesus won it for you. It is not up for grabs. And then to respond to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit versus reacting to your fears or what you think that you may assess that's happening in the relationship. And Tara, I found this so interesting in your book, Shrinking the Integrity Gap. You said, after many experiences and being a therapist who works with leaders in trauma, I've grown to understand the difference between a red flag and a judgmental spirit. Two signals that are often confused. That's fascinating. Really working with leaders, working with people in trauma, and discerning the difference between a red flag and a judgmental spirit. What an important distinction. Say more.
Yeah, that's something I learned in one of my earliest betrayals as well, as we're talking about really difficult relationships. And I dismissed quite a bit of my own struggles. It was a pastor who was preaching on integrity, and every time I would be around him or talk with him, there was this sense of, I felt uncomfortable, the red flag, and I was dismissing that, and eventually he ended up being a professional embezzler who stole all the church's money and had planned a whole process with his wife, everything. It was so sad, and I, on hindsight, it's 2020, but I ended up learning along the way and many other scenarios that the Holy Spirit is giving us a sense of warning, warning, warning. And the maturing process is learning to listen to that and not ignore it. The judgmental spirit is that sense of, again, not being curious. It's often related to our own woundings, our own biases. But in this situation, I had nothing to really overtly put my finger on. It just was like that gut moment, and I can now place it to this day when I feel it. I listen to it, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do with it? Oftentimes, I'm not doing anything with it right away in behaviors, but I'm holding it, cautiously listening and observing, and oftentimes, the truth is known along the way. Behaviors, words get said that just confirm that red flag that I initially felt. And oftentimes that judgmental spirit, if I'm actually judging someone, God will usually use that to show me different, that someone's behaviors and their words and the outcome is actually counter to what I maybe initially thought. And it was more about me than it was about them.
It's so good. It's such an interesting dynamic because when you're walking intimately with God and you're walking in the fear of the Lord and you are keeping short accounts and then you get a check in your spirit about something, it is wise to pay attention to that. I've really followed some of the stories of some high-level leaders who've fallen and who their staff would say, I had a check, but I didn't have the guts because of his personality, his charisma, his platform, blah, blah, blah. Versus on the judgmental spirit side, you know, when you come into a place where you're suddenly assessing people and thinking you know, that just doesn't happen overnight. There are a lot of slips along the way, a lot of departures, a lot of, you know, just ways you stop listening to the Lord. So I feel like in some ways to discern that is to retrace your own steps to go, am I walking in the fear of the Lord? Or am I just relying on my own press and my own gift of assessment? You know, I mean, are there planks in my own eye that I can't see? I feel like that's really worth paying attention to because it is important. If God has given you a gift of discernment, there's a reason for it. If you're starting to get judgmental, you're actually causing harm in the body of Christ.
Yeah, and it's causing poison to our own soul, right? We keep drinking. The judgmental spirit can just quench so many things that God is trying to do. So I love that, Susie.
You know, I've noticed in friendships, they tend to fall into kind of spheres or kind of widening circles. You picture a smaller circle than a one a little bit bigger. So you have this inner court friends, then you've got your kind of life friends, and then you've got your acquaintance or association friends. And maybe there's better names for those spheres, but I wonder if we need to be okay when a friend moves from one sphere to another where, you know, maybe you've known them your whole life and they were inner court, but again, a shift happened and suddenly you're just not walking in sync with one another to force fit them. After maybe attempts, but you don't want to cut them off. I mean, talk about how do you discern what to do when those things start to change in friendships.
Well, I appreciate you saying that you actually attempted first. I think that's a key piece, is just to check in. What are my expectations and hopes for this relationship? So starting with you and the Lord, discerning that. Do I even want to work on this relationship? Making an attempt. And if the attempt isn't met back, you know, with a friendship or a pursuit or initiating, then that would be a sign that this is time to let go, or it's a season that we need to grow apart, and maybe at another season we'll come back together. But I think it's hard for us to accept change, and yet it's one of the most beautiful things that God uses to keep us a little bit off balance. You know, I work out a lot, and if I just worked on one muscle, I would look pretty funky. And so they always talk about cross training, right? So that you're always creating different muscles and keeping those smaller muscles strong and those bigger muscles strong, and it prevents injury. I do think that that happens a lot in our friendships as well, is that God's moving and shifting things so that he's growing different muscles in us and keeping us balanced and sometimes even protecting us. I think that sometimes later on we can look back in our stories and go, that change actually was a gift that I didn't know I needed. So when you're saying force fit, I think we first have to do some time with the Lord and just saying, is this one that you're asking me to let go of? Or do I need to make some attempts to say, hey, friend, you're important to me. Let's figure this out. You now live on the other side of the country. What do we need to do to keep this friendship going?
Very good. This question came in. How do you deal with the grief of a friendship lost?
Well, that is a reality for so many of us right now. And just, I think if you live long enough, you're going to have the loss of a friendship in lots of different ways. That can happen through divorce. It can happen through people moving. It can happen through all kinds of rejection. And my first statement is really cheesy, and yet it helps all the time myself, is I've got to feel it to heal it. And I spend a lot of time with clients creating space so that they can feel, they can name the things that they miss, the things they loved about that relationship. So if you're not doing this with someone else, you're maybe doing this with the Lord in a journal. But you're making space to celebrate the gift of that friendship, the hard things about that friendship, what you will miss. And sometimes it requires us to get angry, too, if there was injustice happening. So we have to feel it to heal it. If we don't, then that baggage, we will carry that into the next friendships and continue to be triggered by that. But when we process and we leave room to grieve, our brains and our bodies and our spirits actually close it up, file it away, and we can start to move on and receive the next friendships that God has for us.
Boy, that is so good. You know, sometimes you stay in a friendship because it's like an old shoe. It's comfortable and it's familiar. But when you step back and you look at the fruit of the friendship, you realize, well, no, it might be comfortable. It's not exactly a healthy, fruitful relationship. Speak to that dynamic, if you would, because I've heard plenty of people talk about, it's just, this is my old bestie. But then you start to ask questions, you know, how do you sharpen each other? Do you inspire each other? Well, actually, they kind of pull me into old habits that I ought not indulge in. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So speak to that one, if you would.
I love that question. And, you know, I'm in wine country out here in Oregon, and so we're looking at vineyards all the time. And so the pruning process is a real piece of our walk with Christ and with our friendships. We need to prune them every once in a while. And we might, if we have too many branches that are pulling, you know, the nutrients, then we don't bear the best fruit. And so every year the vine owners will go around and prune their vines so that the fruit is rich. And I think about that in terms of friendships. Which ones are maybe sucking energy where it's not a give and take? I'm going to put them in a category where it becomes more about ministry. And then I'm going to have the relationships that are more the give and take relationships. And those are my friendships. Friendships are meant to be back and forth. So if somebody's really struggling with a friendship because they're like an old hat, but really they're not getting a lot from that friendship, it's not helping them grow in the Lord or helping them as a person, we're moving that more to ministry, and we think about that in a different way than a friendship where you're being vulnerable and you're sharpening one another. And then the other relationship would be a mentor, someone who's giving to you and you're receiving, but you're not always giving back to them. And so I always think, how many of those do I have in my life? And there's only just enough room for those that I'm serving and I'm in ministry with. I have a handful of friends, the give and take. And then do I have a mentor or two who I can just receive from? It's kind of a great way to assess, and it might mean grieving and letting go of a few friends that don't fit in any of those categories, and then making really clear decisions with the Lord on who's going to be in what box.
Very, very good. This is an anonymous question. I'm not sure I fully understand it. Let me just see if I can. She says, like you said, if the problem lies more so in yourself and you're struggling on resolving it with God, then how have you handled that with God privately while still trying to, while still trying to move on forward in other relationships with others? So if there's still something unresolved that you're trying to sort through with God, maybe with a failed friendship, does there need to be kind of time in between, or how do you not bring that baggage into other relationships?
I think it's a fantastic question, and it's I wish there was a linear process that just says, okay, do these five things, and then you'll move forward. But we know that that's not the case, and the reality is, living in a fallen world, we are actually wounded in relationships, but we're also healed in relationships. And so oftentimes it's happening at the same time, right? We're letting go of a relationship, or we're dealing with some closure or sadness or rejection, and God's providing other relationships that can be part of that healing. So I think the piece is being honest with a few of those new friends to just say, hey, I'm struggling here. So just be patient with me. I went through a season of one of my closest friends. I ended up having to report them. They were a therapist, and I had to report them to the state. Again, a massive betrayal happened. And I just thought, I don't want to trust anyone again. And this was a long time ago, but I just remember that moment of like, I don't think I can make any more friends. Like, nobody can get in my inner circle, because if this could happen, right? Like, who are people? And fast forward, maybe 6 months, I asked the Lord, would you provide me with a few friends? I'm scared to death. And so every friend that I made in the next several years after that, I actually was honest with them. And I just said, I'm coming out of a really difficult season with a friend, and so just be patient with me. Might be a little guarded. I might need to talk about things a little more here and there. And over time, God used those friendships to remind me that not everybody falls in that category, is out to hurt you, and that we can have healthier relationships and that we can heal. So I just want to give that person hope that it's a both and then pick a few of those new friends that you can be a little bit more honest with, and they'll be a part of the healing with you.
It's such a beautiful example of what health looks like, because, you know, again, in the social media world, you have all these connections, but they're not even relationships, but at the expense of deeper relationships. And often because people have been hurt too much by up close relationships, and then the enemy gets right in there, because really so much bad happens in isolation. Our immunity goes down, our growth level diminishes. And so, as you say, healing happens in relationship. Hurt does too, but we need each other. So we've somehow got to be able to trust God that somehow, some way, he's going to bring some healing and redemption, and he has new things, new relationships, new experiences for us. So when we come back, let's talk a little bit about the idea of getting our baggage down to a carry-on size. I love that. You said we'll have greater impact in our life and career from a time and resource standpoint if you can work now to get your baggage down to carry-on size. I love that. Talking to licensed counselor and therapist Tara Mattson. She co-authored the book Shrinking the Integrity Gap. We're drawing a little bit from that as well today. More with Tara in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I don't know if you saw the K-Love Awards, but Torrin Wells did this choreographed number that, oh my word. So I just had to play that song today. If you can find it on YouTube, it'll make you want to get up and dance. Just saying. But that is beside the point. Today we're talking about what happens when relationships change, because they do. Somebody may have a life event, or somebody's attitude might change, or they may suddenly take on an offense. But there's shifts happening in relationships all the time. So what are we to do? That's what we've been talking about today with therapist and counselor Tara Matson. And one of the things you said in your book, Shrinking the Integrity Gap, is this: you can have a greater impact on your life and career from a time and resource standpoint if you work now to get your baggage down to carry-on size. You'll lead from a more authentic place, knowing that the road ahead is not easy nor pain-proof. So in other words, even we know there's other bumps in the road ahead, so not to be dragging all this heavy baggage with us where we go, let's deal now and get it down to carry-on size. I love that idea. Say more.
Well, we are passionate about helping leaders of all in all places of life. If you have a following, if you're parenting or you're leading a Fortune 500 company, you have a following, and how you lead actually matters. And most of us don't really take the time to look at our stories, to look back and reflect and to go, look at what God has done and look at the places that are patterns for me. And so getting our baggage down to carry-on size is really looking at the bag, opening it up, actually going through the things we've collected, things people have said, things that have been done to us, things we've done to others, and really taking time to grieve it, to name it, to own it, to ask forgiveness, to receive forgiveness, and to really file things away and offload those on both God's lap, as well as putting responsibility on those that have tried to put it on us, you know, carrying shame of other people. And it's just a lighter load. It also, when we have our baggage down to carry on size, we're not going through the world trying to get our needs met in unhealthy ways. When we've gone through our baggage, we learn to go, oh, that's a need I didn't get met, and here's where God wants to show up and meet me here. And so, for example, when it comes to friendships, I moved around a lot as a kid. Might not be very traumatic off the bat as I say it out loud, but children need a lot of stability. And so I learned how to make friends fast and to make lots of friends, but having the ability to have consistent, over time, deeper relationships wasn't something I had. And so I carried a lie from that, saying, I'm alone, you're going to be alone, you got to figure it out on your own, and eventually things will change. Well, that's baggage that I carried in every friendship in my early adulthood. And so I've had to do work with that and be able to actually go into my friendships with a sense of saying, I have vulnerabilities to thinking you're going to leave, seasons are going to change, and I don't really want to go that deep, so I'm going to diversify and make sure I have lots of friends instead of going deeper with a few. And God's been working with me on that and saying, I'm here for you, I'll be consistent, and I'm supplying key people in your life, you can trust me on that. And so this is this process all of us have to go through. That's just an example of one storyline that I've had to work on in my baggage. And so when we're aware and we're able to offload and trust God to meet those needs, and a few others in our safe community, we're just freed up to love others and to show grace and to not be so offended everywhere.
It's so great. This dear listener says, kind of off topic, but I actually don't think it is. She says, what do you say to friends who deter you from a therapist and tell you just to rely on Jesus alone for healing and guidance? I have all kinds of opinions about that, but I'll let the professional address it. What do you say?
Well, I might be a little biased, Susie. I actually resisted going into the counseling field because I know that voice very well, and thought counselors were maybe outside the box of what is biblical. And what I found is actually we do some of the deepest discipleships because we get to go to some of the most vulnerable and intimate spaces with people and to trust God with those spaces. But going back to that point I said earlier, God designed us in the image of God, who's a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which means we are made for relationship. And He heals us in relationship with other people. We see who we are in the eyes of one another. And so I would say that God, part of God's way of healing us and helping us see more of Him is through the lens of relationships. And therapists just have a unique training and expertise. And I think it's important to recognize that sometimes we have an expertise that friends can't meet. You know, I wouldn't say a friend could help me with heart surgery if my heart was struggling and I needed a doctor. The same is sometimes with our mental illness and our relationship patterns. Counselors are trained and able to go to places that friends can't go.
Boy, it's so important. I think almost every Christian needs therapy at some point. And that's why we need to pray for our therapists and good ones, because there's also, you hear stories of therapists who maybe, you know, kind of plant ideas in someone's mind that and create all kinds of divisions. So you do need to be really discerning about the person that you go to. But as you said, I remember, you know, a couple, they were in a life group and their marriage was very much on the rocks. And the group was like, we're going to help you through. But one couple had said, you know, this is way beyond our pay grade. I'm afraid this is going to put a lot of stress on the relationships. Well, that's what proved to happen, because their problems were so complex. The life group really wasn't equipped to navigate, and it wasn't really the scenario that you wanted to see happen, because it just became so focused on, and, you know, and it did, it fractured relationships. So there is a definite place. And to me, it's like, I hear that same mindset for people, Christians who deal with anxiety and depression. But my goodness, you know, some people need help to walk through some of the trauma and the things that they've endured. So, yeah, enough said about that. Okay, so here's what you write as well, and I thought this was so good. There are no shortcuts to developing character and integrity, which is a wholehearted life. It takes real guts and grit to jump into the deep end and to stay there to uncover where our pain, fears, false beliefs, and unhealthy coping strategies were birthed. But that deep end is also where healing, integrity, character, and healthy leadership emerges. I just think that is so powerful, because it takes grit and guts to go there. But that, in those deep places, is where God meets you and does a deep, deep work in you.
Absolutely. And it does. It does take courage, because none of us like to take that backpack off and to look at all of that. But man, so many of us have been carrying around for so long, we don't even know that it's there. And so that courage to slow down and to allow God to show us all of who we are and all of who He created us to be. And so on the other side of it, honestly, is that abundant life. It's not a perfect life free of problems, but it's one where we're walking a little more aware and in freedom. Jeff and I always talk about the fact that this is a fight for freedom, not salvation. Jesus, one and done, right? It's all through Jesus, and there's grace in that. But being willing to look at our stories and allow God to have our heart, mind, soul, and all of our strengths, the good, the not so good of our stories, means that we could have a fighting chance for a freer life, and then be freed up to serve and love others out of a right heart instead of out of obligations or lies that we've been taught in lots of different systems throughout our life. Mm.
You know, it's interesting in your book, Shrinking the Integrity Gap, you reference a stat from Dr. Robert Clinton, where he says approximately 70% of Christian leaders do not finish well. Think about that. 70% of Christian leaders do not finish well. And he based that stat on the following six criteria. And I want to bring this up because you might not think you're a leader, but you are an influencer. And don't we all want to finish well? So I just want to go through this bulleted list, and we'll just sort of wrap here in just a minute. But they lose their learning posture. They're no longer listening and growing. The attractiveness of their character wanes. They stop living by their convictions. They fail to leave behind ultimate contributions. They stop walking in awareness of their influence and destiny, and they lose their once vibrant relationship with God. Well, again, I would say these are the same criteria for each and every one of us. We want to finish strong, and these are the things we start to let go of at great detriment to our souls and our character and even our story. What do you say?
Well, I think so many who are listening, you know, get discouraged sometimes if you've lived a long life and you're like, gosh, I'm already 3/4 through my life and I'm so weary, I'm so tired. And we say, what better time is it to do this work and to finish well? So many of us start the race well, and then to those stats, you know, we end up dying along the way with moral failures or burnouts. And it's not too late, even if that was a part of our story. But I will say the younger generation, I think they're trying to find shortcuts, right? We're all about charisma and tell me how to do it in 5 steps and I'll get her done. We Google everything and we're trying to be experts too young. And there is hard work we've got to go through and allowing God to till the soil. And unfortunately and fortunately, the greatest growth comes through experiences. It moves from our head, from head knowledge down to our gut, where God is transforming us. And this is where the good stuff, the good fruit comes from. So I just, at the end of the day, Jeff and I are just longing for more leaders, more followers who are saying, I want to run my race well. I don't have to be the fastest. I don't have to be the strongest. I just want to finish well. And that's who we're calling to say, join us in this movement to shrink our integrity gaps, to bring all of who we are before God and one another. No more hiding. Let's live in freedom and allow him to use us right where we are.
Somebody got to give me an amen. We want to finish well. Don't you want that? I do too. And that means giving God access to those places in your story so that he can reveal and heal, correct and redirect, because he loves you. Nobody loves you like the Father loves you, and he will never turn away from you. You can trust him. Tara, please come back. This was just fantastic. Thanks for the time today.
What a gift. Thank you, Susie.
Great conversation. That was Tara Mattson. We're going to leave the drawing open for Uncommon Woman for a little bit longer. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Hey, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.